So good evening to everyone tonight. Glad that you're here. If you're watching the service at home this evening, we thank you for joining in with us as well. Thank you, Mr. Reed, for reading that passage for us. And I have no doubt that that is a very familiar reading to all of us. But that's okay, because it never grows old. At least I hope it doesn't. There's always something there to learn, always something to be reminded of. Not that I suppose a whole lot that we need to learn from time to time, but just a lot that we need to be reminded of. So this evening, as we look at this lesson, do you get it? That's sort of the title. Do you get it? And you'll see why I say that in just a minute. But draw the picture in your mind. A man gets up early one morning and he goes out of his home down to the tool shed or down to the storage shed, and he gets a bag of seed, probably drapes it around his shoulder, and he travels outside of the town, outside of the village, and he begins to sow that seed. And he reaches into the bag and he scatters the seed. Not what we would say as the most efficient way. I understand that modern farming today has got it down to such a science that you can count the number of grains that you plant per acre. And it is planted in a certain row, each seed a certain distance apart. But not so with this man. He was doing the modern way, at least his modern way of sowing seed, was simply to scatter it upon the ground that he has prepared. But being that that was the type of process it was, the seed fell sometimes in places not intended. It falls in various places. One of those places was the pathway soil, the hardened ground. An interesting thing about the pathway soil, back in those days, as you might imagine, the property wasn't fenced. There wasn't modern ways of travel. There weren't well-planned roads and routes, but rather the fields were unfenced, and oftentimes people would travel across those fields going to the place they were traveling to. You might also remember that in the Old Testament law, Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, there was a law made by God that said that a person who owned the field was not to harvest every bit of it, but to leave the corners, the windrows, some places for the poor and the stranger, the sojourner, might come there to get food. You know, that has played an important role in times in past. You remember the story of Ruth, as she gleaned in the fields of Boaz, that she met him there and they became acquainted, and you know that story. You know, also you may remember the story in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, as Jesus was walking through a field, a grain field, on one of these hardened paths, no doubt, and his disciples reached down and plucked a head of grain. And the Bible says they would rub it between their hands. You ever done that? You ever picked a head of wheat and you rub it between your hands and you break the husk loose and give it a little blow and a little bit more and you give it a little blow and you've blown away the husk and pretty soon you've got just the grain left. That's what the disciples were doing as they walked through one of these hard pathways, through someone's field. They would reach and they would grab some grain. But there were no fences in those days, so you understand why there were some paths that had been beaten down and were hard. People walked through the fields traveling from place to place, so the field had hard places. But the soil that fell here did not find a place to grow. But rather, you understand that the birds came and eat it, took advantage of it. And secondly, as this farmer sowed his seed, the seed fell on what the Bible says, shallow ground. It was soft, not very deep, but it was softened. And beneath that ground was a rock layer or a hard bedrock that would not allow the roots to grab a hold, to go down deep, to look for moisture. So the ground was typically dry. I see one of those places sometimes as I pull in my driveway at home. I look off to the left in the pasture, and if it hasn't rained for several weeks, I see big brown spots. I know what that is. That's underneath the grass. It was shallow. It was rocky, and that grass has dried up. So that's the kind of soil that this was. It was hard, or it was soft, but underneath it was hard. And when the sun came out, the plant that had quickly grown, the sun came out, it hadn't rained for a while, and then this says that this plant withers, it dies. And then, of course, there was the weedy ground, the thorny ground. This ground, too, is soft. It's good ground. It is receptive ground, but it's crowded. Crowded with something other than the seed the farmer put there. It was weeds and thorns. So the seed did quickly sprout. It began to grow, but so did the weeds. And not something that's very productive if you're looking to, at the end of the harvest, to have something to put on the dinner table. It's not real productive when the weeds grow in the plants you planted, because they compete with the plant. The plant becomes crowded and it doesn't produce. But then also there was the good soil, the fertile soil, the soft soil. It was receptive, but this soil was uncrowded. It was uncrowded. It was the kind of place that the seed could find very good moisture, could find fertile ground, could find nutrients, and it would grow quickly. And it would, as Jesus said, it would bring forth fruit to maturity in various numbers. And this is the parable of the soul, or the parable of the sower, whichever you prefer. This was a parable talked about a common scene in the life of those people. Even today, we can understand it. It was a lesson about everyday life designed to teach spiritual principles. But this one is very unique in a very special way. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. The parable is found in Mark chapter 4, also in Luke chapter 8, and in Matthew chapter 13. So all three of these men give us a lesson about this parable that Jesus taught. But Mark mentions something in Mark chapter 4 that is really what we want to think about tonight. Jesus said in this parable, "Do you get it?" And in this verse, he says unto them, "Do ye know this parable? How then will ye know all parables?" In other words, if you don't get this one, how are you going to get the others? If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the other parables that are going to be taught? This parable is different, evidently. This parable evidently is fundamental. It is basic. It is foundational to the other parables, the other lessons, the other words that Jesus was going to teach. So he asked the disciples, "Do you get it? Do you understand? If you don't understand, how are you going to get the others? If you understand this one, then it will put you in the very best position possible to understand the others." Jesus explains it to them in order that they don't miss it. If you don't get this one, how will you get the others? This parable teaches us how to focus on how receptive we are to his words. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Here Luke says, Jesus says, be careful how you hear. Mark says that in Mark 4:24 that Jesus says, be careful what you hear. So if you put those two together, we have to be careful how we hear what we hear. So this parable is to listeners. This parable is to help us understand how we receive the Word of God. And if we don't get this one, Jesus said, how are we going to get the others? And I suppose by and large, that's mostly the reason he explains it to them. But this is a parable about how we listen. How well we listen. How well we listen to each other. You know, typically speaking, communication is not a typical male trait that we excel in. And Tammy has told me that from time to time. At least I think that's what she said. I think I was paying attention. I'm not sure. So that's the point. How do we listen? How do we listen to each other? How well do we hear Jesus and his words? How open are we? How good is our soul? How are we letting it in? Are we listening with the intent to be changed by it? Are we listening to the intent that it is to grow, it is to produce the fruit that God desires? That we want to have the kind of soul, the kind of heart, the kind of ear that will let us listen. So then how are we to listen? It'll be one of four ways. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, as Jesus explains this parable, he talks about the first one, the pathway. And he explains this by saying, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, and becometh the wicked one, and catcheth it away, that which was sown in his heart, that he which is received the word, or seed by the wayside, this is him. That's the person who has received the seed by the wayside. But there's something interesting about this. It says Jesus did when it was sown in his heart. So to some degree, this person received the word at least superficially. At least basically. But they rejected it. They ignored the message. And Mark 4:15 says that Satan takes it away. He snatches it away. So the pathway soul is a soul that simply has no interest. You ever met a person like that? You ever been a person like that? The pathway soul is the person, it represents a person who just doesn't get it. People who don't understand, perhaps, because they don't want to understand. And Jesus goes on to describe this way in chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. When he's quoting from Isaiah, he says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should be understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus says back in Isaiah's day, the people weren't interested. They had come to a point in their life where they just didn't want to hear it. Jesus said, if they would hear it, I would heal them. But they've closed their ears, they've shut their eyes, and they've turned their backs. They have rejected it. Perhaps this is the kind of person who might reject the Word of God because it's either, one, too difficult to understand, or too difficult to accept. What do we do when we see something that's difficult in the Word of God? And Peter said, Paul talked about things that were difficult to understand sometimes. So what do we do? He said, oh, well, I don't understand that, so, well, I'll do something else. And don't even try, just give up. Or are we the kind of person that says, I should dig deeper into this. I don't understand, but I'll ask. And they asked Jesus, what does this mean? Jesus, explain this parable to us. To study, Jesus is dividing his listeners into two camps. He's dividing those listeners into ones who would listen, and maybe they don't understand at first, but they're willing to try. They're willing to study. They're willing to listen. And on the other side, there's ones who, they hear it, but they just don't care. They're just not interested. They don't get it, and they don't care. Maybe it's that person that's just cantankerous, right? You ever know someone like that? You read the Word, they read their own Bible, and say, well, I know what it says, but that's that kind of person. They're unteachable. They're unreceptive. They just don't get it, and they just don't care. But then there's this second person, and to use the words of Jesus, this person is shallow. Verse 20 says, but he that received the word or the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with joy received it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, and then tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word. By and by he is offended. So this person is someone who is interested in it first. In fact, they are very interested. They are probably overly emotional. Maybe they're impulsive. It says joyfully they receive it. And it finds the ability to grow, and quickly it sprouts. But this is also the person who doesn't understand real Christianity. You see, they only see the niceties. They only see the pleasures. They only see the things that God can offer, like the salvation. And God being with us through all situations. And God blessing us through Jesus Christ. And they see these nice things. But they don't count the cost. In Luke 14, Jesus tells another parable about two individuals. One, a man who was building a building. And Jesus says, who does that and doesn't sit down and see if his budget can handle it? When he gets halfway through the project and he can't finish it, then he says, it goes unfinished, and those who see it mock him. Or the king who would not consider if his 10,000 men can defeat the enemy who has 20,000. Then we get involved in the battle, you're crying peace. You're crying for help. You're crying uncle. So this is the kind of person who doesn't count the cost, who doesn't take up the cross and follow me. They miss that part. And when trials come, he's out. Luke 8:13 says that this is the kind of person who falls away. Matthew said here that this is the kind of person who's offended. Offended by what? Trials and tribulations. You see, this is the kind of person who says he's taking on this new thing of Christianity, then something bad happens. But I'm a Christian. God's not supposed to let that happen to me. There's a trouble, a trial. He says, oh, but something's wrong. God is not fair. God is not holding up his end of the bargain. Or God says, now that you're a Christian, you no longer can do this thing you were doing before. You can't go this place you were going before. You can't associate with those people you associated with before. Oh, well, that's not fair. I want out. That's this person. When trials and persecutions come, Satan throws his darts, troubles come, he loses those pleasures he liked before, his heart is shallow. And he says, I want out. God let me down. God is unfair. God has failed me. I'm out. He just doesn't get it. Then there's the third soul, the third person. Matthew says he also that received the seed among the thorns, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is a person whose life is so busy. Oh man, that's so easy. That is so easy to happen. That happens too many times. I'm talking personally there. Life is just too busy. The Word of God, the duty of God get crowded out. And a person becomes unfruitful. Jesus mentions this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, in that beautiful Sermon on the Mount, when he says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will cling to one and despise the other, because man cannot serve God and mammon. Someone says, what's mammon? Stuff. That's what mammon is, stuff. Cannot serve God and stuff. Well, it's okay to have stuff. It's not right to serve stuff. You can have stuff. Abraham was rich. Solomon was rich. It's okay to have stuff. But you can't serve stuff. Serve God. But it's interesting about this person. Sometimes I think in my past, I thought that this person dies. Like the person with the shallow soul, it says he withered away. But Jesus doesn't say this person dies. He says he becomes unfruitful. He's alive in there somewhere. There's that plant. You separate the weeds and you find the plant. But what you find is there's nothing there to harvest. The Word has some influence, but not enough. This person is pulled in too many directions. He has a very low level of produce in the heart. Matthew says he has become unfruitful. Luke says there is no fruit brought to perfection. What kind of fruit? A very low level of love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and meekness, and temperance. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22, you recognize that, didn't you? Those are the fruit that we are should bear, and we should bring to its fullest amount. But this person just can't do it. There's too many things going on. He has a little love, a little joy, a little gentleness, a little meekness. But in most times, just enough Christianity to be miserable. Bored in worship, but a little guilty if I'm not there. That kind of person. You ever been that person? I have. Just too busy. Just don't get it. But thankfully, there's that good soul. The just right soul, the honest heart. Matthew says that this person hears, understands, and bears fruit. Mark says this person hears, receives it, brings forth fruit. Luke says this person hears, keeps it, and brings forth fruit. It's all the same idea, right? They hear the word, and the word is allowed to grow and prosper and produce. And in this life, and in that soul, fruit is brought forth in abundance. In different measures, according to our different talents, but fruit nonetheless. But it takes some cultivating, doesn't it? When God commissioned Jeremiah to go out and preach to his people, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, God says, see, I've set this day over thee, the nations, and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and plant. So even as the good soul, we have to realize that there are times we have to work in it. We have to keep it cleaned out. We have to keep things rooted out. We have to keep things thrown out that are in our way. We have to cultivate this soul. Remove the rocks, remove the weeds from time to time, so the seed will grow. There's beautiful life in the seed. How many of you not planted a garden or even just a potted plant, and you have joy when you see that plant first peek through that soil, and you see it grow, and the rain comes, and you're glad. Why? Because it's nourishing that seed. And finally it comes to harvest time, and you're happy, you're joyful. It has brought, there's beauty in that. There's beauty in the same life that the seed does the same thing. And the seed, according to Luke, is the Word of God. So this is the point in this lesson. Whenever you teach this lesson, you've got to come to this point. You know what it is? We've got to ask, what kind of soul are we? We've got to ask it. We've got to say it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it's one of those examination times, right? Paul said, examine yourselves whether it be of the faith. So that's what we're going to do. That's what all of us are going to do tonight. We're going to examine ourselves in our own mind. Are we the pathway soul? And probably not. You're here this evening on a Sunday afternoon. It's still daylight outside. It's warm. There's things you could be doing, but you're here. You're probably not the pathway soul. You're interested. But there's the shallow soul. Maybe that's where we are right now. The plant is withering. It needs nourishment. It needs attention. It's withering away. Or maybe the busy soul. We're in there somewhere, but we're just not bringing forth any fruit. Maybe we're the good soul. Hopefully we are. So as we offer an invitation now, we do so in hopes that if you are here tonight or if you're listening online, that you can decide where you stand in those situations, where you are, what soul are you? It's a question that we have to answer ourselves. So tonight, if you need us to help you in any way to respond to the gospel, if you need further instruction, then let that be known. We'll explain to you what needs to be done. If you're listening online, you can call in. You can text us. You can let us know. We'll be glad to help you. Right now, as together we stand and sing.